This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 22nd of January 2016 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. As always, on Fridays, we talk film. And to navigate us through this week's cinema listings, I'm joined by Tim Robey, the film critic for the Daily Telegraph. On the show today, we'll discuss Adam McKay's Wall Street saga, The Big Short, Sandra Bullock's leading role as an American spin doctor sent to help a Bolivian president in Our Brand is Crisis, and we'll look at a documentary about former editor of the Sunday Times, Sir Harold Evans, and his journalistic battle to win compensation for families affected by the drug thalidomide. That's all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review. Welcome to the studio, Tim. Now, let's kick off today's show with The Big Short. The financial crash of 2008 has been the subject matter for a number of films churned out of Hollywood in the past few years, perhaps most notably in The Wolf of Wall Street. The last picture to tackle the subject is Adam McKay's The Big Short, which follows four men working in high finance who predict the housing collapse of the mid-2000s and who want to profit from it. Tim, this film opened to mixed reviews, but it has been nominated for 5 Oscars. What was your take on the film?
It's also done very well at the box office, which I think is part of it, the reason for its kind of Oscar success. And as did The Wolf of Wall Street, I think it sort of picks up where that one left off in some ways as a kind of comic take on the horrendous greed and chaos of that time. And Adam McKay is very much a comedy director. He's the director of Anchorman and Step Brothers, and he sort of takes a step here into much more serious subject matter while remaining kind of comic in his tone, really, and in the entire approach he takes. For me, it's a really awkward mixed bag, actually, this film. I think it's a very interesting talking point movie, and it kind of throws up a lot of information at you in various different ways. I mean, it's sort of terrified of seeming too complicated and seeming too serious at any moment. So it uses all these devices to constantly sort of distract you, keep you sort of on board. You know, at one point, Margot Robbie, playing herself, the actress from Wolf of Wall Street, pops up in a bubble bath to explain the subprime mortgage loan situation, just because it's much, much more kind of palatable coming from her as she sits
in
there.
In a bubble bath.
Yes, in a bubble bath, drinking a glass of champagne. So you can kind of see for the sort of, the kind of lols they're going for, in a way, with the material. The performance is also very variable. I think the main issue I have with the film is that I don't think it really decides like how good or how smart these characters were to actually kind of sort of see into the future, essentially, to kind of predict the collapse that was coming, which no one else saw was coming, and to be the ones who profited in some ways most off it. Does this not in some ways make them the worst people? That's the question I kept wanting asked.
Well, let's have a listen to a clip from The Big Short.
You know what? I'm pissed off.
American people.
We're getting screwed by the big banks.
And I am getting madder and madder.
It's unbelievable.
Then this guy walks into my office and says,
there's some shady stuff going down.
All the banks were having a big old party. A few outsiders saw it when no one else could.
The whole world economy might collapse.
I'm sure the world's banks have more incentives than greed.
You're wrong.
A clip from the feature film The Big Short, directed by Adam McKay. A huge dramatic storylines, which I guess deserve a good cast.
Yeah, and the cast is good. I mean, I think Steve Carell in particular does a really good job. He's the one who's kind of ranting and raving from the start, saying that the whole system is corrupt, no one knows what's coming, it's all a disaster. He's a bit like a Cassandra figure in a way. Christian Bale is the one who really very actively predicts when and how the American housing market is going to collapse. He's the one who kind of bets against it. In barefoot, he's got a glass eye. I mean, every scene Christian Bale has, he's doing something big. He's like, what am I doing this scene? Okay, this is my barefoot scene. Okay, fine. Or this is my scene where I kind of spin around and look over my shoulder when I'm talking to other characters. It's a very big performance. It's the one that's been Oscar nominated, actually, Best Supporting Actor. It wouldn't have been my choice, and neither would Ryan Gosling, who I think is quite uncomfortable in this role. I mean, they've made him look bad. They've kind of dyed his hair. He looks sleazy. That's fine. You know, we don't mind sleazy bangs. banker, but I just don't think he pulls off the kind of comic requirements of breaking the fourth wall, talking to the audience, kind of guiding us through the story. I think his charisma falters in this part. Brad Pitt actually does better than Gosling. Brad Pitt gives a kind of non-performance. It's as if he's looked around at what everyone else is doing, decided, I'm going to do absolutely nothing. I'm kind of just going to sit here in a way and kind of quietly absorb the information as it comes in. I thought he was fine. But yeah, it's a funny business. Some people have loved this film. Some people really go for it, and they kind of like the various kind of strategies it's using to kind of tell a thousand stories at once, really, but perhaps it should have kind of narrowed its focus a little bit.
What about the cinematography? I was reading one review where the writer said it was a little bit as if the cinematographer was on Red Bull trying to create that sense of nausea and fear.
I have to admit, it drove me nuts. And this is a very good cinematographer. This is Barry Aykroyd, who shot The Hurt Locker and who works with Ken Loach a lot. He's a very accomplished cinematographer. I feel as though he's been encouraged just to do these crash zooms sort of up people's nostrils, keep it constantly roving around as if the camera is drunk, essentially. And the editing team follows suit, and it's very, very choppy. There's some bizarre edits. I really feel as though they're not very confident in how to tell this story. So they've just decided to kind of signal that in a way and be as chaotic as possible and kind of explain it by saying, well, it was chaotic, so we're making chaos out of chaos, essentially. But I think that's a slightly cheap justification. I wanted a bit more discipline. Mm. I wanted more of a point of view, a bit more of an editorial kind of stance.
Well, The Big Short came out in North America before Christmas, and today marks its UK release. Next on our list of films up for discussion today is Attacking the Devil, Harold Evans and the Last Nazi War Crime. This is an independent film made by BAFTA-nominated filmmakers and siblings Jackie and David Morris. It takes a look at former editor of the Sunday Times, Sir Harold Evans, who shed light on the stories of victims of the drug thalidomide, developed by the Germans in World War II, that had serious side effects for the offspring of mothers who took it in the 1950s and 60s. Evans' ongoing work was instrumental in the fight for struggling families who had suffered as a result. The focus of the film, is it the story itself, or is it really more about making a point about the importance of investigative journalism?
It's both those things, but it's also Harold Evans. It's a sort of potted biopic of him, if you like, as well, or that's the way it starts. And then it chooses the thalidomide case as the most important of his career as a journalist, really, and the one that he had to fight hardest to report to the public. I'm really glad this documentary has surfaced. It's good, and it won the best doc prize at Sheffield 2 years ago. And in fact, it's been that long before it's got a UK release. I saw it back then, and it did strike me as a really good piece of work. The filmmakers previously made a movie about Don McCullen, the photojournalist. So they're obviously interested in reporting and truth telling.
So you feel the story's in good hands already, just by that.
You do, and it's very well told and very kind of it's very linear in its approach. I thought it was extremely solidly crafted. And I think there are interesting parallels in it at the moment to the movie Spotlight, which is about to come out here, which is about the Boston Globe's report into the Catholic Church sex abuse, where, again, when a massive story like this is about to break, every newspaper gets nervous because, you know, you risk frightening the horses. You risk kind of turning advertisers away. You risk alienating corporations that you are kind of involved with. And the thalidomide story was so big, so important, and cut to the heart of corporate responsibility so much that they really had to be very careful about, crossing every T and dotting every I before they could run the big splash that it needed. And Harold Evans was, you know, absolutely spearheaded the drive to make sure that this story wasn't just buried.
Well, let's hear a clip from the documentary Attacking the Devil.
Mothers had taken a drug, a sleeping pill, prescribed on the National Health Service called Distival, more generally known by its other name as thalidomide. And I wrote the headline, Children on Our Conscience, and launched the moral campaign.
The total number of babies affected could range between 50,000 and 250,000 worldwide.
We, at the Sunday Times, were sitting on a mountain of evidence that this was a fantastic injustice.
You can use any words you like, but scandal is the one which comes easily to mind.
3-4 months later, distillers caved in.
A clip from the documentary Attacking the Devil. Very tragic story. Now, often and perhaps, you know, in North America and Hollywood, stories like this are told through feature films, dramatized. Is it a more British film to take this story and treat it as a documentary?
I don't know if it's necessarily a more British approach, but there is a certain distance and reserve to kind of doing it this way. I'm kind of glad they don't go down the slightly saccharine Hollywood route, and it means that they're not exaggerating the kind of saintliness of any of the people involved. These are people just doing their jobs very well. These are journalists who recognise the importance of the story and push it through. And as Harold Evans says there, you know, there's the kind of moral campaign that they launch, which is, you know, we must shed light on this issue. We must get to the bottom of it. And then there's also the fact that even when, you know, the finger has been pointed, they don't let it drop. And it continues. The campaign really carries on for 10 years as the, you know, the victims of the thalidomide scandal fight for compensation. And the newspaper stays with them through that time. You know, even as the kind of splash value, the expose value of the story diminishes, it's still very important to stick with it. The subtitle of the film is The Last Nazi War Crime, because this drug was actually developed in Germany during the war as a kind of counter to gas poisoning. And then for some reason, then gets picked up after the war as a remedy for morning sickness and given to expectant mothers as a way to help them through their pregnancies. And then obviously all hell breaks loose when these children are born with defective limbs. And, you know, horrendous stuff. One of the real dark moments of the British medical establishment, I think, in allowing this drug even to be put on the market. And again, the Sunday Times didn't let that side of it drop either.
Well, after a premiere at the 2014 Sheffield Doc Fest, at the moment, Attacking the Devil, Harold Evans and The Last Nazi War Crime is only set for release in the UK. We'll end today's show with David Gordon Green's latest drama, Our Brand is Crisis, which sees Sandra Bullock take up the leading role of Jane Bodine, an American political consultant who comes out of retirement to help re-elect a controversial Bolivian president. Tim, this film is actually based on a documentary of the same name. How close are the two?
It's quite loosely adapted from this film that was made in 2005, which was about the 2002 election in Bolivia, where various American campaign strategists came down to help fight the presidential election, kind of against each other in some ways. You know, the kind of all the full force of American spin campaigning for politics was applied in Bolivia. So they've kind of taken that idea and run with it, and they've turned it into a kind of comedy, really. I mean, this is a great role for Sandra Bullock. She's the kind of seemingly hard-nosed, kind of completely ruthless, uncompromising political strategist who will come down, find the right angle to convert any candidate on the roster into a winner, regardless of what it takes, you know, and she'll go negative as soon as she wants to, and she'll do anything she likes. But then, of course, she's revealed to have a conscience and to be kind of a deeper figure than you first get. I think it's nicely done. I think the screenwriter is Peter Strawn, who's behind the adaptation of Wolf Hall on BBC and also did the script for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. And he's very good at intrigue. He's very good at kind of Machiavelli political repartee and all that kind of stuff, and I like this movie. I think it falters as it goes along, and we can talk about the ending, which is a bit of a problem, but a lot of it is really quite entertaining, I must say.
Well, let's have a listen to the film Our Brand is Crisis.
You're a fighter, Jane. I'm giving you another shot at the title.
It's a presidential campaign in South America.
Fragile democracy.
Economy in real trouble. Our candidate is considered arrogant and out of touch with people's lives.
How far are you behind?
28 points.
The opposition has hired their own American, Pat Candy.
Jane Bodine.
Pat.
So what are you doing here? I thought you retired or gave up or something.
What happened to your hair?
So you still got a great sense of humor.
How many times have you gone against Candy?
3 or 4 times.
How many times has he beat you?
3 or 4 times.
A clip from the movie Our Brand is Crisis, directed by David Gordon Green. Now, it sounds like a zappy little screenplay. The script writing seems quite strong.
I think it is good, yeah. As I say, Peter Strawn is the right man for this material, and he's written good parts here, particularly for Sandra Bullock. I mean, she's at a really powerful and important moment in her career after an Oscar and also Gravity being an enormous hit for her. She could command almost any film, and she's chosen one which is quite thorny. It's quite, you know, there's a bit of political bite to it. It's certainly it's looking at the ways in which issues get distorted along the way in a campaign to kind of get someone into office, and that the ultimate kind of goal of them being a decent politician or a decent president gets neglected. You know, it's looking at the ways that they can fail you immediately because they've been voted in on false promises and that kind of stuff. So there's a little bit under there, and I think that's of value. I wasn't so crazy, I must say, about Billy Bob Thornton's performance. We heard him in the clip. He's her kind of nemesis on the other side, and he's doing a kind of spin on a role he's already done, which is in Primary Colors, the movie which was loosely based on Bill Clinton's presidential campaign. Thornton played the famous campaigner James Carville, and is very much looks like him in this film as well. He's kind of bald-headed, and I just didn't think he was so much fun here. And maybe it was the part hadn't been written with quite enough kind of acidic sort of verve to it. But I wanted the kind of sparring between him and Bullock to be a little bit sharper than it was. She's better with some of her supporting team. Anthony Mackie is really good in it, and I think that the actors playing both the presidential candidate and also this young enthusiastic kind of slightly innocent young supporter of the guy who becomes a friend of hers. Those actors are both very good South American actors.
It hasn't done all that well at the box office, which sort of surprises me, although they're, of course, two very different stories. But as the kind of U.S. election race starts to heat up, you think somehow the U.S. public would kind of be intrigued in this story.
It's funny. It's traditionally films that look too political tend to not work out so well at the U.S. box office. In fact, Primary Colors was a bit of a flop in its day. And this one, because it's set in Bolivia, it's about American spin doctors fighting a presidential campaign in Bolivia. I mean, it's quite a hard sell to the Sandra Bullock crowd. You know, the blindside crowd are not going to race to see this thing. So I think regardless of its merit, it's already off to a struggle because of the subject matter. And you're right, it has actually really underperformed, which is a shame. I'm glad she took it because she must have been aware this isn't going to be a massive hit for me. But it is a really good part for her. And she's getting better and better as an actress, I think. She's got something that not many contemporary actresses have, which is that ability in a sort of 40s or 50s screwball way to be kind of funny and smart and kind of like to give a little bit of ferocity to her performance, but
and
also
appealing.
To remain charming at the same time. It's a sort of Katharine Hepburn knack, which a lot of people have, which I don't think we see very much of. And I'm glad she's taken this kind of part. It's a pity it didn't pay off commercially, but perhaps it will do better around the world in America. I think other audiences globally are perhaps more willing to watch a somewhat political comedy than Americans who just perhaps want to watch the next Gravity or whatever.
Well, Our Brand is Crisis premiered at last year's Toronto International Film Festival and was released in the UK, Ireland, Hong Kong and Germany this week. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Tim Robey, and to my producer, Holly Fisher. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. We'll be back at the same time on Monday to talk art in Belgrade. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.